Today's shiur is Masech Demaikot and Daf Yotes. We will begin on Daf Yotches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah, Ein Koisvin Shtari Choy V'moyed. We continue learning what may or may not be written on Chol HaMoed, and the Mishnah teaches us that Shtar Choy, if somebody wants to write an IOU, may not be written on Chol HaMoed. As the Mefarshim explain, the halacha is that it's preferable when one borrows money from someone else that a shtar should be written, because like that it leaves less room for misunderstandings and arguments, and therefore under normal circumstances we want the shtar to be written. However, given that it's Chol HaMoed, Chazal teach us that if we could avoid writing the shtar chayiv, we should avoid writing the shtar chayiv. The Mefarshim point out, based on what we discussed in the previous year, that we had a Machloikas Rambam and Tosfos, that the various documents that the previous Mishnah taught us may be written in Chol HaMoed. So the Rambam said because the Tzorchei Rabim, and Tosfos says because of the situation of a Dover Ovid, this Mishnah seems to be more consistent with the Rambam's approach, because if the concern is a Dover Ovid, every shtar chayiv has an element of a davar ovid. Yet our Mishnah is teaching us they should not be normally written, so it seems that we should not be working with that pshat. However, if the lender doesn't trust the borrower, and the borrower needs the money, and he's not going to be able to get the money unless the shtar chayiv is written, or the Mefarshim give other examples where there's a concern that the Edim who witness this transaction will not be here. I saw another situation that the Paiskim discuss when a shtar choyv can be written on Chol HaMoed. Interesting situation. The halacha is that if I own a property, there's a din of bar mitzra, that my neighbor has right of first refusal. So if I have a customer from my property and I have to approach my neighbor, and my neighbor says, I'm willing to meet the price. So he has first rights, and he gets the right to buy the property. Again, we'll learn more of the halacha mitzvah shem sechtab basra. So the neighbor says, okay, we'll do a deal. But that doesn't mean my neighbor necessarily has the money in his pocket that he could pay for the property. So he agrees. So such a shtar, we don't want that the neighbor should, after yontif, say that I didn't mean it, or I should lose the customer that I already have. Such a shtar may be written on Chol HaMoed. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, if the Sofer, Daf Yud Gimel, we learned this, if the Sofer doesn't have enough money and we want to give him a way to earn some money, so we ask him to transcribe this transaction, Hareza Yichtaif, such a shtar may be written in Chol HaMoed. Continues the Mishnah. In Kaisvin, Svarim, Tfilin, Umezuzas B'Moed. We're now going to write these various different Svarim on Chol HaMoed. And we're not allowed to even correct one letter in Sefer Ezra. Machloikas Rishonim, what does the Mishnah mean with Sefer Ezra? Some say that there was a Sefer Torah that they had from Ezra Sefer, which was considered the most authoritative Sefer Torah, and the Mishnah is teaching us that we're not allowed to, even that Sefer Torah, fix it on Chol HaMoed. Others explain that it's not Ezra with an Aleph, but it's Azara with a Hey. That there was a Sefer Torah that they had in the Azara, that whenever they had to have Kriyas Atayra, like we learned in Masech the Yuma and Yom Kippur, they had Kriyas Atayra in the Azara. That Sefer Torah, even if that Sefer Torah needs to be corrected, it may not be corrected on Chol HaMoed. A question that we already discussed back on Daf Beis. We've been learning the Masechta that what's the issue of Chol HaMoed? The issue of Chol HaMoed is Tircha. So if we have the Sefer Torah that has one little yod, one little letter that needs to be fixed, that's certainly not a Tircha. So why is it prohibited from fixing it on Chol HaMoed? So the Mefarshim explain, given that Ksiva, given that writing is considered a Melacha, is considered something that's a Tircha, so when Chazal said that writing is prohibited in Chol HaMoed, they didn't begin to distinguish, well, it matters if it's a long letter or a short letter, less or more. Writing is Asr, only in the situations that we're learning its mutter. The Ritva teaches us in this Mishnah that even though we're learning now that a Sefer Torah cannot be fixed on Chol HaMoed, but let's say it's the Sefer Torah we need, we're in a shul with only one Sefer Torah, and our one Sefer Torah that we have became possible. It's no worse than any other Davar HaOvid, and Ritva says it could be fixed on Chol HaMoed. The Rashba isn't so clear. The Pesach can discuss an interesting Shaila, a very interesting Shaila. Let's say in our shul where we daven, there's a Sefer Torah and it's possible Chol HaMoed. So we could get a cipher to fix it. Or we could go daven in another shul in the neighborhood. So what should you do? Go fix the Sefer Torah or daven in the other shul in the neighborhood? It seems that the Pesach can prefer to daven in the other shul in the neighborhood. It's not always doable. But on the other hand, the Ritva takes his concept a step further. Again, saying that if it's a Dover HaOvid, it's mutter. The Ritva says, what would be the halacha that there's a cipher that comes to our city as a guest for Yontif? He's here Chol HaMoed, and he's leaving immediately after Yontif. And we normally don't have a cipher available. So can we ask the cipher to fix the Sefer Torah? Even if we'll have a Sefer Torah to read on Yontif, but we happen to have a possible Sefer Torah, don't have anyone that could easily fix it. I guess those days especially, it wasn't easy to transport a Sefer Torah. The Ritva says that that's also considered a Dover Ovid, and you could ask the Sefer to correct the Sefer Torah. Which leads us to a very famous Machloikus Rishayim between Ritva and the Rashba. Somebody goes to a Shir Chol HaMoed, or he's learning Chol HaMoed, and he has a Chiddush, or he's learning on his own, and he comes up with a Chiddush. Are you allowed to write that Chiddush down on Chol HaMoed? The Ritva says, along the same lines, it's a Dover Ovid. Till after Yontif, we know we forget what we learn. So till after Yontif, you may forget what you learned. So certainly the Ritva says, you could write it on Chol HaMoed. The Rashba says no. The Rashba says, it's not a Dover Ovid. He says, if you review what you learn, you may have to review it 40 times, he says. But if you review it enough times, you'll remember. So it's not a Dover Ovid, just review it. However, the halacha, most poskim, paskin like the Ritva, and they say, number one, even if we review it many times, we forget. And number two, during that time that we review, have to review it and review it and review it to remember it, I could have been learning something else. So that's Bittul Torah. And therefore, most poskim seem to indicate, that Mr. Brewer says that way, a chiddush, a Torah, that you're worried that you want to commit to writing, and you're afraid you're going to forget, you could write on Chol HaMoed. Yehudaimer, Kais of Adam, Tefillin Mezuzos Latzmai. A person can write Tefillin and Mezuzos for his own behalf. In other words, before we get into the Gemara, into the Mishnah further, basically what the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda are disagreeing is that Tanakam says you can write Tefillin under all circumstances. Rabbi Yehuda says you can write Tefillin for yourself. So many Rishonim extrapolate from this Mishnah, a very famous Machloikus Rishonim, if we wear Tefillin a Chol HaMoed. And they say, it seems from this Mishnah, we have a clear proof that tefillin should be worn Chol HaMoed. Kais Adam tefillin latzmai means that you're allowed to write tefillin because you need them. So it must be that you wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. Otherwise, how could it be that you need it? Others say just the opposite. They say that our Mishnah is a proof that you don't write tefillin, that we don't wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. Because if we're dealing with a situation where you don't have a pair of tefillin and you need to write tefillin, so it's obvious that you write it. There's no bigger dover of it. If you have to wear tefillin, you don't have a pair of tefillin, certainly you're allowed to write it. When Rabbi Yehuda says, Kais Adam tefillin latzmai, it refers to a situation where Chol HaMoed, he doesn't need a tefillin, because we don't wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. We need it for after Yontif, but Isru Chag in the morning, we don't have to wear tefillin. So that's why he's allowed to write the tefillin for after Yontif. It's not always doable. That's a good point. So now, as I said, it's a Shaila, it's a Machloikus Rishonim, if we wear tefillin a Chol HaMoed. The basis of the Machloikus is because we know that Shabbos we don't wear tefillin. Why don't we wear tefillin Shabbos? Because Shabbos is an ois. So tefillin is an ois, and Shabbos is an ois, so there's no need to wear tefillin on Shabbos. We already have the ois of Shabbos. That's why we don't wear tefillin on Yontif, because Yontif is an ois. The question is, what is the status of Chol HaMoed? Machloikus, Rishonim, Machloikus, Bahag, and Rivosh. Some say that the Bahag holds that Chol HaMoed is a is also a yontif, it's an ois, and chol moed, and the Rivash says not. Halach l'maisa, it's actually a machlokes of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch says we don't wear tefillin and chol moed. The Ramah says we do wear tefillin and chol moed. However, it's interesting to note, there's an interesting tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, the minig is not to wear tefillin. Why? Because who were the first Jews that settled in Eretz Yisrael? They were Sfaradim, who followed the Shulchan Aruch, and Talmidei HaGra and Talmidei HaBal Shem, who also don't wear tefillin and chol moed. So since the original settlement of all Jews in Eretz Yisrael were people who didn't wear tefillin, so now even though there are people that live in Eretz Yisrael that do come from a place that wear, that have a minhag to wear tefillin, Rav Moshe says that publicly one should not wear tefillin in Eretz Yisrael and chol moed. If your minhag is to wear tefillin, he says wear them at home, put them on at home. Which also leads to the next point that the Mishnah Berurah, famous Mishnah Berurah, says that in one shul, we shouldn't have two groups of people, some wearing tefillin and some not wearing tefillin, because of Laisas Gadadu, Laisas Agudas Agudas. However, I did see a tshuva for a Matcha Benet that disagrees. He says, a very interesting concept. He says, when is there a concern of Laisas Agudas Agudas? Let's say a Shiloh will come up now. And in the shul, in the community, there'll be some people this way, some people that way. That's Laisas Agudas Agudas. It's inappropriate. If we have a community, a shul, where some people wear tefillin, some people don't wear tefillin. It's not because I decided that the halacha is that you're supposed to wear tefillin, and you decided that the halacha is you're not supposed to wear tefillin. It's because this is what my father, my great-father, and my great-grandfather did, and you don't, and you do because it's what your forefathers do. So nobody could say it's because we want to split the community. We're just following tradition. And therefore he says that even in one shul, you can, nowadays, you can have people, some wearing tefillin, some not wearing tefillin. Before we go to the next line in the Mishnah, there's a very interesting Avni Nezer that asks a Gevaldig Kasha. He says, we explain that the Shittas that hold that you don't wear tefillin chol moed, why not? Because it's Yontif. And Yontif is an ois. You don't need the ois of tefillin. So he asks a Gevaldig Kasha. When we go from Yontif to chol moed, we make Havdalah. What do we say? We say Hamavdal, then Kodesh, L'chayil. But if you're not going to wear tefillin on chol moed, it's obviously not chayil to you. It's obviously kodesh to you. So why do we say amavda ben kodesh l'chayil? You'd say, those people don't wear tefillin should say amavda ben kodesh l'chayil. So he says a beautiful teretz. He says there are two types of kedusha. There's kedusha which is inherently kodesh. And then there's kedusha which is not inherently kodesh. It's only a reflection or, I use his words, yonik, it's nourishing its kedusha from some other time. Yontif itself is inherently kodesh. The pasuk says, mekroy kodesh. Chol moed's kedusha is not an inherent kedusha, its kedusha is because it's part of yontif. So it's a lower level of kedusha. That's why it's compared to ben kodesh l'chayil, one level of kedusha to another level of kedusha. Says the Mishnah, v'tava ayirechoy tcheles l'tzitzasai. Here we're referring to a person that needs to wear tzitzis, and he needs to make it. And the Mishnah says that he should do it, the Gemara will describe it a little more in Mitzvah Hashem. He should do it with a shinui, doing it on the lamp. The Gemara will explain what it means with a shinui. As Tosfos points out, that why didn't the Mishnah say that when you write tefillin, that whatever circumstances you're allowed to write tefillin, that you should do it with a shinui? So Tosfos says a poshta thing. He says tefillin, we have to be careful that they should be written properly. So you can write it with a shinui. But tzitzis, it doesn't make a difference how you make the tzitzis, as long as you have kosher tzitzis. So that's why the tzitzis should be made with a shinui. The tefillin can't be made with a shinui. There's a machlokes rishonim. When the Mishnah says the word tcheles, is the Mishnah referring only to the tcheles thread of the tzitzis, because it's only one thread when they wore tcheles? Or does the Mishnah really mean all the threads, just tcheles is the most important thread, so that's why the Mishnah calls it tcheles, but all the threads of the tzitzis may be made on chol moed, albeit, as the Mishnah teaches us, with a shinui. Most Rishonim say that tcheles doesn't mean only the tcheles, it means all of the threads. Just to mention, this Tosfos, a very famous Tosfos, on Daf Yotessam and Aleph, the top Tosfos of Tava Yerechai, speaks about writing with a shinui. That the halacha is that, as we've been learning, we'll continue learning, that we're supposed to refrain from writing a Chol HaMoed. Taisa discusses writing with a shinui. If one needs to write, he should preferably write with a shinui. And that the Paiskim say that the best shinui is that if somebody normally writes with his right hand, he should write with his left hand. That's the most famous and preferable type of shinui. There's a lot of discussion in the Paiskim if nowadays that we have computers or typewriters, they have the specifically computers where you're not really writing anything. It's not ink on paper, it's just on a screen. Many Paiskim say that that's the preferable way of writing if you need to write a Chol HaMoed. That means certainly if you don't have to write, you shouldn't write on a computer either. But if somebody has to write, one of the examples that we allow people to write for is, let's say, and this is something that people don't recognize, let's say you need to go to the store, Chol HaMoed, to buy food for Yontif. That's certainly a Tzair Chol HaMoed. So there's certainly a heter to write, but it should be written with a shinui. So if you have a computer and you want to type the list out, that may be the best way of writing. There are other Paiskim that disagree, saying since writing on a word processor has become the normal way of writing, and certainly in most office situations and in many situations, to call that writing with a shinui is maybe difficult. There's a truth from Deborah Tzinerov to that effect. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Kaisu Adam Tefillin Mezuzas L'Atzmai, a person could write Tefillin for himself, V'tava Yerecha Tchilis L'Tzitzasai, and he could write, and he could prepare Tchilis with a shinui. L'Ocherim, for others, B'tava, Diver Rameya. So according to Rameya, if I write Tefillin on behalf of someone else, I have to give it to him for free. B'tava means I have to give it to him for free. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yehuda says, you could write tefillin for yourself. But when you write it for yourself, then I can make a subterfuge. I wrote the tefillin for myself, then I sell them to you, and then afterwards I write myself another pair. So the Taisus speaks, is Rabbi Yehuda more machman than Rameya, or is Rameya more machman than Rabbi Yehuda? Why? Because each one of them has a kul and a chumra. Rameyer allows tefillin to be written for someone else. But Rameyer says you can't get paid for that. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, doesn't allow you to expressly write tefillin on behalf of someone else, but he does allow you to get paid. So the question is, who's the machman, who's the mekel? L'may nafkamina, so says the Sfas Emes, for the next line, which is the way we paskin. You're allowed to sell if you need it for your panasim. So here we have a very big machloikus rishonim. What does kedei panasosai mean? Rashi seems to learn kedei panasosai means that the person nebuch doesn't have what to eat. You have a cipher, he has no panasa, and he's allowed to write tefillin for such a situation. According to that approach, Rabbi Yossi is actually a machmer. Only a person who Nebuch doesn't have what to eat could write, anyone else can't. However, the Rambam has a different approach. The Rambam's approach is that Kedei Panasosai doesn't mean a person doesn't have what to eat. If a person doesn't have what to eat, we already learned many times in this Masechta that an Oni doesn't have what to eat, could do whatever Malach is required to make a living, to make wages of Chol HaMoed. Kedei Panasosai means that the person has basic necessity, but he needs extra, and the Gemara is teaching us that he could write. So according to that, Rabbi Yossi is a big makel. How do we know which approach is right? It depends if Rabbi Yehuda is a machmer versus Rameyer, or Rabbi Yehuda is a makel versus Rameyer. If we say Rabbi Yehuda is a machmer, so the Mishnah, the Bryce is going one chumra after another chumra. Rameyer says you could write for someone else. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't write for someone else. And Rabbi Yossi says you can't even write unless you're mamish an oni. On the other hand, if we learn that the Bryce is going lakula, Rameyer says you can't get ever paid. Rabbi Yehuda says you can get paid with a subterfuge. And Rabbi Yossi is even a bigger makel that you can write as long as you need it to make the money. Ole Rav L'Rav Chananel. Ramle Rav B'Bachanel L'Rav Chananel. Halacha, what is the halacha? A person can write if he needs to do it to make a living. And we learned that you could make tzitzis with a shinui. Tana, tava adam ayirecha tcheilus l'tzitzosoy, a person can make tzitzis avaloi be'evin. The way the Rishonim explain this is when they're working with the threads of making the tzitzis, so we're worried they're going to get tangled together. So what they used to do is tie a little stone at the bottom of the threads that it would add weight to prevent them from getting tangled. So the Tanna Kamma says that that is not allowed on Chol HaMoed. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. V'chamayimrim, af be'evin, you could tie that stone there. Similar machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmoy, be'evin, he says that certainly a stone may be used. Avlo be'pelech, a spindle may not be used. V'chamayimrim, the chum again being makel, bein be'evin bein be'pelech, the stone may be used, the spindle may be used. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Mishmoy, the Ken Omer of Chibar Abba Omer of Yochran, Halacha, Bein Be'evin Bein Plach, you can use the stone, you can use the spindle, Halacha, and similarly going back to the previous Shaila, Kaisu Kedarko, Amoichi Kedei Panasosoi, that you could sell it if you need to, for your Panasa. However, to Rishonim him, the Ritva already says this, certainly even if we're holding that you're allowed to make tzitzis of Chol HaMoed, it's not allowed to be a situation of Mechavim Malach to Lamoed. I mean, somebody learned this sugya today, and it says that we're allowed to make tzitzis of Chol HaMoed, so he needs a pair of tzitzis. Chol HaMoed, he has free time, so he's going to decide, I'm specifically going to make the tzitzis of Chol HaMoed. We learned earlier in the Masechta, Mechavim Malach to Lamoed, you're never allowed to specifically plan to do Malach on Chol HaMoed, and that would be Aser. There's an interesting Avni Nezer, says an interesting Vart here. He says that according to the Rambam, the definition of Kedei Panasosoi means that you're selling, you're making the Sfarim, the Tefillin, the Mezuzahs, because, not because you need it for basic necessity, but you need it because you just want to earn extra to have more than your basic necessity. So he says a Chiddush, and he explains the Chiddush, that according to the Rambam, if somebody is so destitute that he's writing Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzahs, because otherwise he wouldn't have what to eat, the Rambam would hold those tefillin apostle. Why? He says an interesting chap. He says, we know that when somebody writes, say, for Torah, tefillin, mezuzah, especially tefillin, he has to write them l'shma. If somebody is writing the tefillin because he knows that without this tefillin I won't have anything to eat, so he's not thinking about the kedushas of tefillin, he's thinking about the bread that he has to put on the table. That's not l'shma. And therefore, a person under those circumstances, a chiddush would not be allowed to write tefillin. Says the Mishnah. We begin, although we've already discussed a number of times in learning this Masechta, Hilchos Aveilus, now till the end of the Perek of Mitzvah Shem, the Gemara concentrates heavily on Hilchos Aveilus, and the Meiri explains, we're learning Masechta Mayakotin, which is the Hilchos Chol HaMoed, why Aveilus? Because there are many halachas that Rachmana Litzlan apply by Aveilus, that also apply by Chol HaMoed, shaving and taking haircuts and doing laundry. So that's why they're brought into this Masechta. Says the Mishnah, HaKoivres Meis HaShloshi Yom Koidin L'Regel, if somebody loses a relative for whom he has to sit Shiva, if it's 3 days before Yontif, Batel HaMen Gzeir Shiva, then when Yontif comes, he doesn't have to sit Shiva anymore. So the first thing I have to say when we learn this Mishnah, this Mishnah does not reflect the halacha lemaisa. As we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shir, Be'ezer Hashem, the halacha is you don't need 3 days. As soon as somebody sits down for Shiva, for any smallest duration before Yontif, he doesn't have to sit Shiva after Yontif. But this Mishnah says, you need to have to be, the person has to be sitting Shiva 3 days. So Tosfos points out, why koivers meisai, what does it have to do with the burial? Because Shiva doesn't begin until Stimas HaGoyel. Until the Nifter is buried, the Shiva doesn't begin. So the Mishnah uses the words Kaivers Meisai. What's the 3 days? So Rishonim explained, because the first 3 days of Shiva are the most crucial days of the Shiva. As the Medrash and the Gemara say, Gimel Yomim Lebechi, those are the 3 days when the person is still crying. That's why the Mishnah holds there has to be 3 days of Shiva before Yontif, that if we want Yontif to absolve him from having to have to sit Shiva after Yontif. Shmoina, if it's already 8 days from when the Avelus began, Batlamen Gzeir Shloshim, because we have here 7 days of Shiva, and now it's already the 8th day, so the 8th day is already Shloshim, and Yontif takes away the Shloshim. Rabnei Sha'amru. And the Farshim say the word b'pnei here, which usually means because is not really the appropriate word. Rabnei Sha'amru here really means because of the following reasons we're going to summarize, given that all of these hilchos avelos the Rabbanon. So the Gemara is going to teach us what the Rabbanon taught us in hilchos avelos. Shabbos oil of Eidim Afsekas. So the first thing the Mishnah teaches is that if there's a Shabbos, which in most cases there are, Rachman Tzlan, during the Shiva, that day is counted as one of the days of Shiva, even though we don't sit Shiva on Shabbos. We only do Avelos Betzinah. So Rishonim give a number, by Yontif, Regolim, however Yontif, Mafsik Vein Oilim. That means according to the Mishnah, unless the person sat Shiva for 3 days before Yontif, he has to resume the Shiva after Yontif, teaches us the Mishnah that those Yontif days in between don't count towards the Shiva days. What's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif? So there are a number of approaches given by the Rishonim. One approach is that the halacha, which is not the way we paskin, it seems, that the halacha is that on Shabbos we don't have Avelis Befaresia, but we have Avelis Betzina. On Yontif, there isn't even Avelis Betzina. That's why the Shabbos could count towards the Shiva, Yontif can't. However, many Paiskim, and the Rishonim discussed this, said even on Yontif there's Avelis Betzina. So what's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif? Shabbos is not considered a Yom Simcha. There's a din of Oynik Shabbos, not Simcha. On Yontif, there's a din Simcha. And therefore, a day of Simcha cannot be counted towards the Shiva. A day which is Oynik can be counted towards the Shiva. And this is relevant in other areas of Halacha. I'll explain what I mean. The question is, we know that Shabbos Yontif, we're supposed to eat Bosavadagim, meat and fish. What is if somebody doesn't like meat and fish? So on Shabbos, the Paiskim seem to say, on Shabbos you should eat Bosavadagim. But if a person really can't or doesn't want to, since on Shabbos there's no din of Simcha, he would not have to eat Bosavadagim. On Yontif, where there's a chiv of Simcha, ain't Simcha el b'Bosavayayin, a person has to eat meat on Yontif. Another explanation, what's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif given by the Rishonim, is as we said a moment ago, all of these halachas of Avelis are midrabanan. There's a shiloh, the first day of Avelis is midraisa, but certainly the rest of Avelis is only midrabanan. So they explain, when Chazal established Dini Avelis, they recognized that you can't have 7 days without a Shabbos. So they took that into consideration and said that that will always be one of the days of the Shiva, even if there's no actual Avelis b'faresia. On the other hand, you don't necessarily have to have a Yontif in the middle of the Shiva. Yontif doesn't come that often, all the time, and therefore Yontif is different than Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer Omer Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Atzeres K'Shabbos. We know Shavuos is a one-day Yontif. However, Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, and there were so many Kabbonis that had to be brought on Yontif, everybody was oil regal, everybody had to bring Kabbonis. It's only 1 day. Impossible. So it's 7 days Tashlumen. So Shavuos, in the times Beis HaMikdash was standing, was essentially similar to all Yom Tovim. After the Beis HaMikdash, however, was destroyed, Shavuos is no longer the same as all other Yom Tovim. Shavuos is a 1 day Yontif because there's nothing more. So the question is, what status does Shavuos have now that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash? Is it like Shabbos, it's a 1 day? Or is it like the Yom Tovim? So Rabbi Lezer says, B'shachar Beis HaMikdash, it says K'Shabbos. Rabbi Moral Omer, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, he goes to the other extreme. The Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, even though they're not days of Simcha, there's no Chiv Simcha Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, have the same din as Yontif, takes away the Shiva, takes away the Shloshim. The Chom Omer, like the Rezeh, like the Rezeh, they hold that Tzeres has the din like Regolim, Shavuos does take away Shiva V'Shloshim, Rosh Hashanah and Kippurim K'Shabbos don't take away Shiva V'Shloshim. However, we hold that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Shavuos all take away Shiva and Shloshim. So there's no that's all. Is it a din in Simcha? Is it a din in Mayit? Amar Rav says Rav a cryptic line. Gzeiros batlu yamim lo batlu. We'll try to understand the line in a minute. The Ken Amar Rav Huna says a similar statement. Gzeiros batlu yamim lo batlu. Rasheshes Amar afilo yam nami batlu. So my tama yam lo batlu. So as Taisa says, the terminology of Maitama is not really accurate here. Maitama means why. What the Gemara really means to ask here is what? What do you mean when we said Yavam Laibatlu? It means to say that if, let's say, as we learned in the Mishnah, it's already the eighth day or further when Erev Yontif comes out, that we learned the halacha is that under those circumstances, Yontif takes away the Shloshim. So the person under those circumstances is allowed to take a haircut, shave, whatever, an Erev Yontif. Let's say the person didn't take advantage of that heter, and he didn't take a haircut on Erev Yontif. Shem Gilech, Shem Lo Gilech Erev Aregel, Rav and Rav Huna are teaching us that if the person did not take a haircut Erev Yontif, Osel Galech Ach Aregel. And as the Meiri explains, what's the Svara of Rav and Rav Huna? This is a special dispensation that Chazal gave to the person that really is in the middle of the Shloshim and is really not allowed to take a haircut, but L'Kavod Yontif, they allow you that the Shloshim should be overridden. But if a person didn't take advantage of that heter, he remains in the old status of being in the middle of the Shloshim. Rav Sheshis disagrees. Rav Sheshis says, the halach is that Yontif takes away the Shloshim, whether if you took advantage of the dispensation or you didn't. Says the Gemara, Vatanya, and Rashi and Taisa say Vatanya here is not a kasha, Vatanya here is a raya. It says, HaKoyvus Meisha Shloshi Yom Koyim L'Regel. Again, this is similar to the position taken in our Mishnah, that if they buried him 3 days before Yontif, so there's already 3 days of Shiva before Yontif, Bat L'men Gzer Shiva. So Yontif takes away the Shiva. If there was Shmoni Yom Koyim L'Regel, there were 8 days of Avelis before Yontif began, there's no longer any shloshim, and therefore, this person could take a haircut erev yontif. In like gilech erev regel, if he didn't take a haircut erev yontif, teaches us the Tanakama, also legaleich acha regel. It's too late because if he didn't take advantage, he lose the heter. Avishaloimer. Muta legaleich acha regel. The person can't take the haircut after Yontif. Why? Shekishem shemitzvah shloisha mevatelos gzer shiva. Just like if the person sat shiva rachman on for 3 days, there is no longer any chi of shiva on this person. Kach mitzvah shiva mevatelos gzer shloishim. The shloishim is taken away. Ask the Gemara shiva. Is the shloishim taken away after 7 days? For now, we just learned in our Mishnah Shmoneh Tanan that if you want shloishim to be taken away, there has to be at least 8 days of avelus. Says the Gemara Chiddush. K'sova abishol mixes hayoyim kikuloi v'yoyim shvi oiloi lekan lekan. That there's a din of mixes hayoyim kikuloi. So when the seventh day begins, it's already in the morning, even though there's machlokes rishonim, do we say mixes yom kikuloi only in the morning, or does it already start at night? We hold that we only say mixes yom kikuloi in the morning. That means it's not the night of the seventh day, it's the morning of the seventh day, where after that the shiva stops. And Abishol says another chiddush. Abishol says today, let's say Rachman stone somebody singing shiva, and he gets up in the morning. So when do we start counting shloshim? For one hand, we could say today is day seven. So the shloshim only begin, the halachas of shloshim only begin tomorrow. On the other hand, once shiva ends, shloshim begins. If shloshim begins and it's before yontif, yontif will take away the shloshim. So teaches us Abishol a very big chiddush. That not only do we say mixes yom kikuloi, but day seven is really counted also as day in the shloshim. So according to Abishol, a very big chiddush. You don't have to wait 30 days. You only have to wait 29 days. And you already have shloshim over, because day seven counts both ways. We don't agree, even though we hold mixes yom kikuloi, both on the shiva and on the shloshim. That means we get up from the shiva in the morning, and we'll discuss that more in a moment. And the halacha also is that by shloshim, the halachas of the shloshim end in the morning. That means in the day shloshim, you don't have to wait for the day to end. A person can take the haircut already after the morning. But we don't hold that you can combine in both ways, unless I did see certain places can say the following. Let's say day 30 comes out on Shabbos. So Friday is day 29. Could somebody take a hikkud already in day 29, or does he have to wait for Sunday? There are paiskim that say under those circumstances he could take a hikkud in day 29 based on this Gemara, and there are also other considerations, because there are considerations regarding the issur of taking a hikkud during shloshim is not that explicit. Amar Chizda, Amar Ravina Bashela, Halacha Kabashol. The halacha is like Abishol, that we say mixes a yom kekulay. Continues the Gemara to say, Umaydu chacham al Abishol, kshichal shmini shaloi liyas b'shabbos, ever regal, shemutal lagaleach b'erev Shabbos. What does this mean? We're learning now that according to Abishol, there's a very fundamental machlokes. We actually had this Gemara the other day in Daf Yud Zayin. There's a very fundamental machlokes between Abishol and the chachamim. According to Abishol, if there's 7 days of Avelis before Yontif, when Yontif comes, not only will there no longer be any Chiv Shiva on this individual, there won't even be a Chiv Shloshim on this individual. Because like we said, Yom Shvi, Ola Lekan Ulekan. The Chum disagree. So the Chumim, as reflected in the Mishnah we just learned on Amud Aleph, say that in order for Shloshim to be taken off, there has to be 8 days of Avelis by Erev Yontif. What will be if the 8th day is Erev Shabbos? So on one hand, you have 8 days before Yontif. But on the other hand, it doesn't really help much, because it's Shabbos, and you can't take a haircut on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, under those circumstances, the Chacham will agree to Abishol that the person can take a haircut on Friday, which is the 7th day of his Shiva, of his Avelis, which is Erev Yontif. Says the Gemara, Kaman Azla, Hod Amar of Amram Amarav, Oval, Kimsh Amdu Menachem Etzloi, that the halacha is, as we've said now, that Shiva ends not at the end of the 7 days, but in the morning of the 7th day. When does it end? When the people who are being Menachem him get up, Mutter Kerchitza, the Shiva's over, command, Kabashol, because that's Abishol's position, that we say, Mixes Yom Kekulay. So as soon as people get up from him, that's when Shiva's over. So the Ramah asks a very fundamental shayla. And apparently it was not just a shayla, a theoretical shayla, it was a very halach l'maisa. He says, apparently people refrained from being Menachem Oval on the last day. And it makes sense, because it doesn't look nice, you didn't get to me till the last minute. So people would refrain from being Menachem Oval on the last day. Al Gemara just taught us that when does the Shiva end? When the people finish being Menachem Oval. But let's say nobody came. So what's the halacha? So there's a machlokes. Some say that he has to sit shiva the rest of the day, but the Ramah says that he has to sit shiva until the time when people on the other days were davening shachris with him and were menachem over him after shachris. That's the time that he has to get up. Now there's another interesting shaila. Let's say the last day of shiva is Shabbos. It means if the person sat down shiva on Sunday, so Shabbos the 7th day, so he's not sitting shiva. But the Shabbos is one of the Shiva days. So what's the halacha? Is that 7th day, do we say the same halacha of Mitzvah Yom Kekulay for when the Menachemim get up, that's when Shiva ends? What's the nafkamina? There's no one to Menachem, because you're not Menachem on Shabbos. Where's the Shaila? Very relevant Shaila. During Shiva, a person's not allowed to get an Aliyah. An Oval's not allowed to get an Aliyah. So let's say somebody, Shabbos is the 7th day of his Shiva, and it's already 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. It's certainly after the time we would have gotten up from Shiva if it was a weekday. And he goes to shul. Is he allowed to get an aliyah? So there are paiskim that say that this din was only said during the week. Since Shabbos is a weaker din of Avelis, this whole din doesn't apply. But most paiskim disagree. Therefore he can't get an aliyah. The Shiva goes till Matzoi Shabbos. But most Paiskim disagree. The Shara Ephraim discusses the Shaila. Many Paiskim discuss the Shaila. And they hold that the Shiva ends Shabbos morning the same time as would end if it were a weekday. So if the person davens in shul, by the time he gets to shul, it's certainly by time that he would have already gotten off from the Shiva. And he's allowed to get an Aliyah. And somebody interestingly told me that there's a minig that when a person gets up from the Shiva, dafka to give him an aliyah. So not only does the person allow to get an aliyah, there may be a minig dafka to give him the aliyah.
Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Haloch Kabashol B'yom Shiva, the Haloch is like Kabashol on the seventh day, that we say Mixes Yom Kekuloi, Umaydim Chachom L'Abashol B'yom Shloishim, that means Mixes Yom Kekuloi. That on the 30th day, even though they're disagreeing on the 7th day, on the 30th day, we agree. So Rabbi Yashiv explains, why would the Chacham agree on the 7th day, on the Shloishim, but not agree in the Shiva? So he says an interesting pshat. He says, Shloishim is like all other areas of Halacha. And we know in all areas of Halacha, we say Mixes Yom Kekulei. Shiva, he says, is a special din. As we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, the Gemara tomorrow, it's based on a pasuk, v'chefachtim chageichim la'ovel. And just like Yom Tov is 7 days, Shiva is 7 days. So the Chacham hold that the Torah, that the Chazal told us that Shiva has to be 7 days. So we can't say Mixes Yom Kekulei. Shloishim, on the other hand, is not a special pasuk. It's a din like anything that has to take a duration that we always say Mixes Yom Kekulei. Rav Amma, Halach Kabashol B'yom Shloishim, Vein Halach Kabashol B'yom Shiva, V'nador Amri, and that's the way we paskin, Halach Kabashol B'zu B'zu. Why? That we say Mixes Yom Kekulei both by the Shiva and the Shloishim. Dom Shmuel Halach Kedivrei Meikel B'Ovel, we always go lenient position in Avelis. Ask the Gemara, Shloishim Yom Enolam, from where is the concept of Shloishim? Says the Gemara, Yalef Pera Pera Minozer. And we learn Xeris Shava of the word Pera. When Aaron and his children, Elazar and Isama, were in Avelis for Nadav and Avihu, the Torah specifically tells them, Reshechem Altafra, you shouldn't let your hair grow long. Which seems to indicate that every other Rachman Ritzlan does have to let his hair grow. The Ksiv Hasim, it says by Nazirus, Gadol Peres Aroshay, Ma Lahalon Shloishim, so he uses the same word Pera. And by Naziris, it's a duration of 30 days. Av kan shloishim. Ask the Gemara, from where do we know by Naziris it's a duration of 30 days? For Hossam and Nolan, Omra Masna, Stam Naziris shloishim yoyim. The average Naziris is 30 days, and the Rishonim will learn this Mitzvah Masechta Nazir, that say not only Stam Naziris shloishim yoyim, you can never have a Naziris which is less than 30 days. My Tam, why is Stam Naziris shloishim yoyim? Omakra, Kodesh Yiyya. Yiyya, the word Yiyya, but the Gematria Tlos and Hafa, which is a pasuk used by Naziris. The Rishonim explain, a Gematria certainly doesn't have a basis in Halacha. It's just in a Snachta that's how we come to the word Shloishim. There's another Shaila the Paiskim discuss. If we're comparing the Halacha of one not being allowed to take a haircut during the Shloishim to the Halacha of Naziris, the Halacha is by a Nazir is not a comb his hair either. Because when he combs his hair, he may pull out a hair. So the Paiskim ask, would that also be the halacha, Rechman Slam, by an oval, that he's not even allowed to comb his hair? The Paiskim say, certainly that's not what the Gemara means to compare it to that degree. And an oval during the Shloishim is allowed to comb his hair, even though maybe a hair will come out during that combing. Amrav Huna, Bereder Vishua. Hakamoydim, Shkechol Shlishi Shalaylias, Erev Haregel. Again, going back to the opinion of our Mishnah, that the person has to sit 3 days shiva for Yontif to take it away. So here's the third day. Shasa b'chitza ad erev. That the person has to wait until Yontif to wash. This is machlok for shonim. You can't take a bath in Yontif. So some say it means that you'll be able to take, it doesn't mean that you'll take the bath in Yontif. It means you'll take the bath with hot water on Chol Hamoed, or it means you can wash with cold water or lukewarm water, which is permissible on Yontif. Aram Nechemi Breder Vishua. Ashkechatenu l'rapapi l'rapapa de yasri ka'amri. Halacha, k'rafun Breder Vishua. That's the halacha. Ikadamri, Aram Nechemi Breder of Yosef. Ashkechatenu l'rapapi l'rapapa l'rafun Breder Vishua. De yasri ka'amri. Hakam moidim. Shemchal shlishi shalaylias avaregel. He has to have 3 days of avalis in order for Yontif to take away the shiva. And the third day is Erev Yontif. Shas brachitza ad erev. So here is a machlokes rishonim. What the Gemara clearly is saying, again, based on the opinion of our Mishnah, it's not la halacha l'maisa, that if Erev Yontif is the third day of Avelis, he can't take a bath until the night or until Chol Hamoed. There are Rishonim that do want to suggest that he would be able to take a bath right at the end of that day, right in the last moments of Erev Yontif. What will be if it's not the third day, it's the fourth day, it's the fifth day? Will the same halacha apply that since the person is sitting Shiva, he has to sit Shiva all day Erev Yontav, only till the end of the day, or it's only a din in the third day, but in the fourth or fifth day, which is anyway no longer the first three serious days of Shiva, we could be more lenient according to this opinion, and then make him wait until Yontav, he would be able to take a bath on Erev Yontav, or be it in the afternoon. Again, according to our sheet, it's not Megeya, because we hold as soon as the person sits any amount of Shiva, Erev Yontav, the Shiva is taken away.